Our scripture this morning is taken in Acts chapter 1 as we continue through the book. We just introduced it last week. Today we pick up in verse 12 and we'll be reading from 12 to 26. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number, and he shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and he fell headlong, and his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, and so they called the field in that language, the field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, and let no one dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism until the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two men you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Here ends the reading of God's word, his blessing upon it. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, and we thank you for the direction that your word gives us. Lord, your word is our source of truth. Your word is our source of wisdom and direction for life. Your word reveals your will and your heart for us. So I pray that as we open your word this morning and come before it, that we would hear directly from you, that you'd give us wisdom and direction to know how we can discern your will. And those important decisions that we need to make in life, how we can sense and direct, understand your leading and direction in the way that we need to go. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us have to make decisions every day in life and discern some major decisions. Some aren't that important, like what am I going to have for breakfast? For me, it's the same thing, a bowl of cereal every day. That's not a major decision. Maybe it's a little major, what I'm going to put on or what I have to wear. And life is full of decisions. Some were routine and some were more consequential, like who am I going to marry? Am I going to buy a new car? Or what's my career going to be? And we all have those decisions to make. And how do we discern what God's will and direction is in decisions that we need to make in life? There's a story of a man. He was looking for direction from God from his word. And so he opened up the Bible just randomly. And he went like this and put his finger down. And it said, "Judas went and hung himself." And he thought, "Oh boy, that's not good." So he closed it up and he went again and he put his finger down and it said, "Whatever thou doest, do it quickly." And he said, "Boy, I don't like that either." So he closed it again and put his finger down and he came to, it says, "Go and do thou likewise." And he said, "I don't think that's the way to receive direction from God." Or maybe we can flip a coin. And we can decide, should I do this? Which God do you want me to do? I'm going to flip a coin, and however it comes up, I'll take that as your answer. will that work? Or if we want to sound more spiritual, we can be like Gideon. And we can put out a fleece and say, God, if it's your will, I'm going to put this fleece out. And if it's your direction, you make the fleece be wet. And I know if the fleece is wet, then that's what you want me to do. And remember, God directed that, but then Gideon, that wasn't good enough for him. He said, this time do it again, make the fleece dry. But we can do that. Is that a way to discern the will of God? How do we know to get direction from God and the decisions that we need to make is actually his leading or not? Well, the disciples were at that point in their life. Jesus had just ascended into heaven as we had just seen. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, had committed suicide and he was no longer there. And the disciples said, we need to replace him. We need to replace Judas with another person to take his position of leadership. So who do we pick? How do we know who the person of God's leading is that he wants us to take the place of Judas? And so they were trying to discern the will of God. And that's where we are in this part of the book of Acts. As we look at the story together, we're going to decide that the way we discern the will of God is found in the answers are found in the Word of God. That we can go to the Word of God and get the direction that we need for counsel. And as we look at the story this morning, this portion of God's direct word, we're going to discover three principles together that will help you and I learn how we can discern God's will. Maybe it's a major decision, maybe it's a minor decision. But what is it that God wants me to do? What is his will for my life now? And how can I discern that? Three principles. The first one is this. Number one is seek God's face in prayer. That's where we begin. Notice what the disciples did. It said they returned in verses 12 and 14. They returned from the Mount of Olives and they went into the upper room. And the first thing they did, verse 14, was they all joined together constantly in prayer. Along with the women, which would have been Mary Magdalene, the women in the resurrection, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers who had become believers at this point. But they all joined together and sought God's face in prayer. And that's where you and I need to begin when we're facing any major decision in our life. Lord, help me to know your will. And to come before him in prayer. And to pray together. Notice it said they all joined together. So whenever you need direction and help to discern the will of God, it's a good practice, a good thing to do is come to another brother or sister in Christ that you trust, someone that you know is mature in the Lord, and come to another brother and sister in Christ and say, you know, I'm faced with a decision here, and I'm trying to discern what God's will is, and I don't know how he's leading me. Would you pray with me about this, that God will lead me and help me to make the right decision? So praying together, find someone that you can share that prayer request with and join together in prayer with them. That when they're praying together in unison and in one accord, there's great power there and God answers. So praying together with one another and praying continually. Notice it says in verse 14 that they all joined together and constantly in prayer. It wasn't just once. But they prayed continually and constantly. And when you're in the need of the direction and the will of God and to discern his will for your life, if you just take it before the Lord once, he wants you to continue to keep petitioning him until he makes his will and direction clear for you. And sometimes we have to go continually, repeatedly before the Lord till he makes that clear which way we're supposed to go or what our decision is to be. Don't just stop asking God's direction once, but keep praying and seeking his face until you were clear that you've heard from him that this is the way to walk in it. And beseech him in prayer. That's where it began, seeking his face in prayer. Notice they prayed together as soon as they came down, but jump down to verse 24. Before they made their decision, before they were going to decide, they prayed again, verse 24. They prayed as they were ready to have this election and choose. And anytime we face any major decision or anything, we need to begin with prayer. And we're coming into an election season. And it's important for us to pray that God will direct and lead us who he wants us to vote for. And to vote for those people that are lined up in values that follow the scripture truth. But pray and seek God's direction and leadership. seeking his face. That's where it begins. But second is search God's word for guidance and instruction. After you begin with prayer, go to his word and look for his word and see what he gives us there and what instruction we find to help us in discerning his will. And notice what Peter did after they prayed. He stood up and he said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke about long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas." And he said that he saw in the scripture what had happened as Judas betrayed Jesus. And he saw that foretold. And he said, "This is fulfilled what the scripture said." And then he quotes it. He said, as it's written in the book of Psalms, verse 20. And this is Psalm 69, verse 25. "May his place be deserted, and may no one dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership." That's Psalm 109, verse 8. Peter saw in the word of God direction. And he said, God's given us guidance. The scripture says that in Psalm 119, verse 105, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And through God's word, it's the lamp down to our pathway, showing us the way to go. And his word gives us direction. All we need to know for our living, we can find answers to in the word of God, and we can find direction there if we look to him. And we search his word for truth, for guidance and instruction, because he will speak through it. And we can trust the Bible as your sole authority. And that's what Peter did here. He says, "Brothers, the word of God, the scripture had to be fulfilled." And we can trust what God said in his word, and his word has given us guidance. It spoke to this, and it's given us direction in what to do. And trust the Bible as your sole authority and mine, because it is our foundation for life. It is God's truth that does not change. Because it is trustworthy. Notice what Peter says here. He says, "The mouth of David spoke, and it was fulfilled." Verse 16, he said, the scripture had to be fulfilled. And so he was saying that God has fulfilled in his word through Judas what he said would happen. God did what he said, and we can trust in his word. It's trustworthy because the promises that he made, he either has kept or he will keep. Every word in the word of God is trustworthy and true. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will endure forever." And we can trust every single word written here. Amen? And we can rely on it. It's fully trustworthy. And so look to the word of God as your guide. That should be our primary source. After we seek his face in prayer, go to his word and look there for the guidance that his word gives us. It's totally trustworthy and it is inspired. Notice what he has also said in verse 16. The scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David. Here Peter is affirming the inspiration of scripture and said that scripture came, even though David wrote it, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And that's what gives the word of God its power, because every single word not only is trustworthy, but every single word comes from the mouth of God. Totally inspired and breathed into existence by him. And so we can rely on it. It is our foundation. And it's our first place we go to find that guidance and direction for life. So trust the Bible as your sole authority. But second, start with God's revealed will. Peter did that, and he said, in the scripture, it said, may his place be deserted, and let no one dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. And he started with what God had already revealed to him, or what you already know. And as we're seeking to try to find the will of God in our life and the decisions of what he wants us to do, start with what we already know, what he's revealed about himself. Start with the things that we know that it's his will that we love one another. We know that it's his will that we are to forgive. We know that it's his will that we're to serve. I mean, the things that he's already made clear to us. Start with those things. And that's what Peter said. God has already told us here that another, his place is to be deserted. Another is to assume his place of leadership. Beginning there. Billy Graham made a statement and said, if you are ignorant of God's word, then you will also be ignorant of God's will. Because God reveals in his will, his word, his will for us. And start with what he has already revealed and begin to do that. And let that be the guidance, the foundation for the decisions that we make on how we live our life. And then third, look for his concealed will through the lens of his revealed will. And that's what Peter did. Notice he goes on and it says in verse 21, which is the conclusion of this, as Peter discerned from the word of God, he looked to the word of God for guidance. They had prayed and sought God's face. He looked to the word of God. God spoke into it. And he said, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of these men who has been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out to replace Judas. He then saw the concealed will, who is to take the place of Judas through the revealed will of God. What's that mean? Is God is never going to reveal something or lead us to do something that goes against what he has already revealed in his word. And what he has revealed in his word is the foundation. And we always interpret everything through what we already know and what he's revealed about himself. And the decisions that we make, he will never ever lead us to do something contrary to what he has already revealed in his word. And so when you're seeking his concealed will, what I don't know, what God wants me to do, that's why we begin with what he has revealed, because we interpret it through what he has already revealed about himself. And from that, we can draw his leading and conclusion to, I don't understand this, but this must be how he's leading me. And we can get sense of his leading and direction through what he was already revealed about himself and in his truth. So look through his concealed will through the lens of his revealed will here through his scripture. And let that be our guide. And let that be the way and source of our instruction for how we live our life. So how to discern God's will? Seek God's face in prayer. Search God's word for guidance and instruction. And third, submit to God's sovereign purpose and plan. Submit to God's sovereign purpose and plan. And this is where it comes down to, we may not understand it, but if this is God's will, we're discerning it, and we're going to make this decision, and we're going to accept that this is part of God's leading. Because then, it says in verse 23, they proposed two men, Joseph, named Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed again, seeking the face of God. And in their prayer, they said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two men you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry. Give us discernment. We need to know. Lord, lead us. Help us to make the right decision here. And who's to be added to? So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11. That's where we come into submitting to God's sovereign purpose and plan. That when they, through the casting of the lots, they saw that, and the decision that was made and the outcome that was made on that, they saw that as the leading and direction of God, that this is the man that God has chosen to replace Judas. So as we submit to God's sovereign purpose and plan, the Holy Spirit gives us discernment. And we can trust in him. As they prayed, they said, Lord, show us. You know everybody's heart. Show us which of these two men you've chosen. And they asked the Holy Spirit to reveal that. And the Holy Spirit gives us discernment and helps us to understand and discern which decision that we need to make, because we can't make that ourselves, because God understands and knows the heart. And he can reveal that to us as we pray for discernment. A couple weeks ago, when we had our question and answer, we were talking about discernment. Nick brought up that question, how do we receive it? One way is to pray and ask God for it. The Holy Spirit gives us that discernment. That's part of what he does. And he leads us to that. How did they seek the leading of the Holy Spirit? Through prayer, but also through that of casting of lots. So we need to talk a little bit about this, because this seemed like a strange way to make a decision. In Bible times, they would make major decisions by casting lots. And how they would often do it, you could say, flipping a coin or drawing straws or whatever. But how they mostly did it in the Bible times was they had piles of rocks with white ones and then one black one. And they would make their decision, and they would either cast the lots down or pull them out. And the one that got the black rock is the one that was either considered yes or no answer. Have you ever heard that statement, someone got blackballed? That blackballed, is that where that came from? And if a person got a black rock, it meant that they were rejected or they were blackballed. So they would cast these lots and they would use it. So they, well, however they did it, they cast their lots and between these two men, and it fell, the decision fell to Matthias. Casting lots was used in the Old Testament prior to, and this is where the key is, prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to notice that here. And lots were cast in the Old Testament to divide up the promised land. God told Joshua to and Moses to divide up the land by the casting of lots, and however the lots fell, that was to determine who was to receive that piece of property. Lots were cast to assign priestly duties. When a priest would be assigned to the temple, a lot was cast into what duty they were to do. And lots were cast to determine Jonah's guilt. Remember when Jonah ran away from the Lord and God told him to go to Nineveh and he went the opposite direction to Tarshish? And God sent the storm in the boat. And remember, the sailors knew that there was some reason for it. So they cast lots to find out, and the lot fell on Jonah. And God used that as a means to reveal his guilt. So it was a very common practice in the Old Testament. But what's a key is this was the last time that this was mentioned in Scripture. After this, leaders were not chosen by casting of lot. They were chosen by the leading and the calling of the Holy Spirit, which we'll see later on in the book of Acts. So once the Holy Spirit came, he gives us discernment. And he helps us to determine the will and the mind of God. So you need that decision. Submit to his will. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment and wisdom and leading. Let's look at some scriptures. John chapter 16. Turn with me there. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. This is in the context of the upper room. He had just served communion. They had said communion together. He had washed their feet. He's giving them some final instruction before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's going to be facing the cross. He knows he's going to be leaving them shortly. He wanted some final words of instruction. Chapters 14, 15, 16, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, that he was going to send, and what he was going to do. But verse 12 of chapter 16, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will what? He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from it as mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide us in the truth. And he will help us understand the mind and heart of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Paul, writing about the Holy Spirit and what he does in us, says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who is coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that has been destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love them. But God has revealed it to us. By how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is why what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. For the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But Paul said, the Spirit of God, who knows who is God himself, reveals and helps us understand the heart and the mind of God. So seek his face in prayer, go to his word for counsel and guidance, and submit to his sovereign purpose and plan by trusting and seeking the Holy Spirit's help and guidance. And also submit to his plan, because nothing happens by chance. This may sound like when they casted lots, that was just a happen chance thing, that the lot fell the way it was, and they said Matthias. No, they believed that God worked and directed through the process, and that God's sovereign plan was revealed. Because friends, nothing happens in our life by chance. Everything is intentional. Our God has a purpose and plan. He is sovereign. You believe that? And we can trust him. So nothing happens in our life by chance. And we can rely on that. The scripture says in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap. But it's every decision is from the Lord. We're going to be talking a lot more about this Wednesday night when we talk to elections and God's sovereignty. But the lot is cast into the lap, and every decision is from the Lord. We can trust him that nothing happens by chance. God's direction and leading and purpose and will be done. And submit to that. And God's will be done. And they accepted it. Notice what it said. They cast lots. The lot fell to Matthias. They took that as the leading of God, his purpose and plan. They submitted to it, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And God's will and plan was done, and they discerned that this was the man that God had designated to replace Judas. And through that, they were able to discern the will of God and the person that God wanted in that position. So God's will be done, his purpose will be accomplished. So do you need to know, do you need to discern and discover the will of God? We can sit here and we can flip a coin. We can look through the scripture haphazardly. We can do all kinds of things, but that's not the way God designed. We need to discern his will, seek the Lord's face in prayer, search his word for guidance and instruction, and then surrender to his sovereignty and his sovereign plan, knowing that through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he will make that known and his will be done. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that your word gives us guidance, instruction. Your word is that lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway. And Lord, in those times when we need to discern your will and what way you want us to go, we need to start with what you have already revealed about yourself. The will that you have already made known. And we know that it is your will that we give thanks in all situations. We know it's your will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. You've made your will, and some things clear. And so we need to start by fulfilling the will that you've already made known to us, but also seeking your face in prayer. Asking a brother or sister in Christ to join with us, and that we need to discern what your guidance is, what a decision that we need to make, and asking a brother or sister in Christ to pray with us about that. And praying continually until we get that answer, until we get assurance that we've heard from you in the way you want us to go. So seeking your face in prayer, seeking and searching your word for guidance and instruction is what you have revealed already, because your word is that light and lamp to our feet and will show us the way. And then to submit to your purpose and plan and will, knowing that your purpose and plan for us as believers is a good one, that you are doing about your good, that your will be accomplished. Your Holy Spirit gives us discernment if we but ask. And we seek you. You will reveal to us your heart. And you will show us this is the way, walk in it. The scripture says to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our understanding, not on our wisdom, but in yours, and acknowledge you in all that we do, and you will make our path straight. You will direct us. You will show us the way to go. So thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for the guidance and direction that you are our good shepherd. You lead us. And we just need to be close to you and listen to your voice and stay connected to you that we can hear you speak in your soft, still voice to know that this is your leading and this is of you. So thank you, Lord, for in those times when we need discernment, you give it to us. You told us in James that if we lack wisdom, to ask of you, and you give it abundantly beyond measure. And so, Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your leading. We need your discernment. We come to you thanking you that you will do and you are faithful to your word. So guide us, Father, as we look to you through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.